Hello, I'm Tina Marie St. Cyr, and welcome to Light Your Life, the podcast. I believe our dreams have energy, calling, and purpose, and that when we move in their direction, our lives become even more joyful, fulfilled, and effortless. This podcast gives you insights to the strategies our guests use to overcome obstacles and manifest their dreams in business, career, relationships, and in life. Listen to find new levels of energy, perspective, and courage. Your journey to light your life begins now. Hello and welcome. I'm Tina Marie, your host, and today we're going to unpack another amazing conversation that's meant to light us up, give us curiosity, have us learn more about this world we live in, possibilities for ourselves and others. And, you know, today we're going to dive into understanding, you know, your personal mission and advocacy so that you can find that place that calls to your heart, because contribution is the biggest human need. And oftentimes I find whenever I'm sitting with people, and we're going to talk about this with our guest today, is that whenever they're feeling lost, stuck, not enough, is that they've left to the side of their own becoming the ability to help others and to guide others and to become that contribution of their life into another container of another human and possibly an entire community. And so I want to tell you about our wonderful guest, Tammy. She has just followed her heart and her becoming, and we're going to share her story and her journey today. And I know that you're going to walk away with some valuable takeaways. So again, thank you here. So Miss Tammy Wallace, she is the co-founder and president and CEO of the Greater Houston LGBTQ Plus Chamber of Commerce. Her passion for economic inclusion focused on the LGBT plus Q community has become a driving force of her power and influence here in Houston. And we're going to talk about that and why it's important to all of us to follow her lead, follow her curiosity, follow her passion. And she is not only a leader within the LGBTQ plus community, but more than that, she holds a container of our beloved city. And she's gone to the national level too in recognition of what it means to create safe spaces, to feel included, to allow our voice and our wants and our desires and our questions to come to the table. So it doesn't matter your background. It doesn't matter, you know, your race or what part of humanity you are finding yourself in. It's all beautiful. What is here today is how can you create more impact and be of favor and help to humanity in its entire essence. So Tammy, thank you so much for being our guest today.
Oh, Tina, what a beautiful introduction. That's got to be the best I've ever had. And thank you. I love your passion. And to say, for me to say it's an honor to be on the show today is an understatement. I appreciate the invitation.
Thank you. I appreciate this time together. We exist, the podcast exists, Light Your Life, which is transforming into Light Your Leadership. It's finding a different identity just because there's different conversation in our world where leadership really is at the essence of who we are as far as growth. You know, every single one of us, no matter our background, you know, our education, our career, what we're doing as a passion, there's this seed inside of everyone that we want to grow. We want to become more. And I think that that's because we got the shadow darkness behind us going, yeah, we're not enough, right? And whenever we're not, yes, enough, it drives this, who are we becoming? And I find that a wonderful sense of conflict that I embrace, as opposed to saying I'm not enough and, you know, can people now value me? Instead, I go, if I'm not enough, where am I being asked to show up? So what, yeah, I love about yourself is that you have found where you show up, and I've been able to witness you and watch you show up. And it's just so magnetic and energetic. And I thank you from my heart and soul for what you've built, especially here in Houston.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
So I want to know about Tammy prior to launching the chamber. I mean, there was a, yeah, lot of you back then, you know? So yeah, what have you been? Take us into a bit of your journey, the highlight reel, so to speak.
Well, so I've been in, you know, if we go back just a little ways, I've been in Houston actually since I was 17. People are always astounded when I tell them this little nugget, but what brought me to Houston is I came here to go to Bible school. I thought I was going to be a missionary's wife and go to another country and do this, and but the universe had other, definitely had other plans for me.
Definitely.
So, but it's one of those things that that journey here for that particular what I thought was my life path is what brought me to where I am today, because I wouldn't be in Houston. And interestingly enough, there was a Bible school with a particular religious group I was involved with. There was a Bible school. I grew up just outside of Memphis, across the state line in Mississippi. There was a Bible school in Jackson, Mississippi. So, you might think, well, that would be the natural, not too far from home. But I had a friend who had come to Houston to the Bible school here the summer before, came to visit with her parents, and I said, oh, well, I'm going to Houston. And I think back to that journey down 59, and how could I have even understood how life-changing that would have been for me across those miles to make my way to Houston, first to visit her and then to come here to go to Bible school. So, yeah. And so and there were for me I had no family here, really no security blanket, but there was a tug that was keeping me in Houston. I didn't really understand it at 17, 18 years old, but I knew that Houston was where I needed to be. And so I was able to start, building my career in a lot of ways. Finally figured out, I actually funded my undergrad education myself, and figured out, oh, I could go to school part-time. All of these things that I didn't even realize would be actually within reach for me at 17, 18 years old. But through that process, I was working for some great companies, and my career was definitely growing. And that's where I bring so much of my business background from working, some of our particularly our native Houstonians will remember Fingers Furniture. I used to, I used to work for Fingers. That's kind of where I cut my teeth in the credit department. They loved to hire the Bible school students. We were really dependable, and we'd work that 12 to 9 shift. Yeah, so that was great. But I mean, starting my career and getting involved, and I did things like work for the credit bureau, but then I got into financial services, and that's really where Mellon Bank, Bank of America, did a lot of work there. So all that work from corporate America informs everything that I do right today with the chamber, as we work with our what we call our impact partners, which are our large companies, but also small business. So, but I mentioned I went to school undergrad, and I was doing that part time at night, working during the day. So my career is really on a real growth trajectory, and I'm trying to balance school with all of this. But finally, I'm able to finish up, and then I'm like, well, I've got all this time on my hands. What am I going to do with it? That's when I really got involved with the LGBTQ plus community. I volunteered on some campaigns. Anise Parker, our former mayor, I was volunteer on one of her campaigns and got to know people in the community. But also that opened up for me to see, starting to understand the disparities for our community, the discrimination that we face, understanding that more than just from a personal level, but from a community level. And that drew me in to, I've been active in the LGBTQ plus community for well over 2 decades. And founded an organization called the Houston Equal Rights Alliance. We did a lot of work on voter identification, identifying voters that would vote against, at the time, a state constitutional amendment to ban gay and lesbian marriage. And so, then that's where I started to understand the connection with the political aspect of this. That got me connected to our former state representative, Ellen Cohen. I was her chief of staff in the state legislature. So, you can see I'm building on all these different aspects, right, in different ways that I've been involved. But I worked for Ellen for a number of years. She was a terrific, terrific boss. She decided to run for city council, and I said, I love you, but I really only care about trash and recycling when it's my own. Don't quite want to, deal with that every day, but I appreciated that she did, and she, she was my actual city council member. So she kind of gave me her blessing, and I went to work for KIPP, Public Charter Schools, at the time, serving as their chief growth officer, helping to figure out where we put schools, how we engage community, oversaw marketing, fundraising, a lot of different aspects. So they gave me that whole lens into particularly minority communities and kids that don't have access to good education. You know, again, that all threads back to this economic piece, right? Understanding if we can't get kids a good education, if we don't have an educated workforce. So that's what all swirls around my head. But unfortunately, with KIPP, I got there was a big in 2011, the state legislature cut about $5.4 billion out of education. So I got caught up in a layoff along with a host of others because KIPP just had to cut. And I said, you know, at that point, I'm going to go out on my own. I did. I started my own consulting firm, working on governmental relations, community engagement, project management. This is actually what led me to co-founding the chamber because I launched that in 2012. Around 2015, I read an article about an LGBT BE certification for LGBTQ owned businesses. Yeah. And I'm like, wait a minute, that's me. I could get certified. That led me to the National LGBT Chamber of Commerce, which is the certifying body for this particular certification. And the way they work with what we call affiliate, what they call affiliate chambers is if you're a member of your local regional chamber, that certification fees waived. So what did I do? I went to look and I'm like, oh, wait, we don't have a chamber in Houston, right? So
And this was
yeah, so
2012.
that's this was actually 2015, and we
Okay.
launched the chamber in 2016. And I'll tie all that in to say, you know, what has happened for me in 2016, I knew we had a gap. We had to have our businesses had to have representation. We needed a seat at the table, right? So all of this understanding, business aspect, the political aspect, all the work that I'd done leading up to this, what I didn't expect to find was my passion around addressing economic inclusion for our community. And that's exactly where I'm at today. And at the intersection of business and the LGBTQ plus community, that's exactly what the chamber's doing. And it definitely is what gets me up every day to do this work.
That's amazing. I love hearing your journey. This is just like so fascinating. And what I love is that it's evidence that when you follow the threads of what I hear is that you were following where your energy and your curiosity, even, coming from Memphis and, the potential of going to a Bible school in Jackson, Mississippi. But by the way, I'm from Mississippi. And then, landing in Houston, not having any safety nets or, friends here. You just followed that the thread. I think I'm supposed to be here, which it sounds like it was highly instinctual.
Yes, very much so. And I didn't even understand that. Sometimes I think about like it was amazing at 17 or 18 with no safety net that I mean the natural thing would have been to bolt, and just go back home where that safety was. And I did do that for a week after I left the Bible school. But within a week I'm like, what am I doing here? I mean, I'm like literally sitting at my mom and stepdad's house and this is going through my mind. What am I doing here? And my boss at Fingers, she was like, why are you leaving? You're so great. You need to stay. So, yeah.
That's awesome. A question I have is that early version of yourself. I mean, I'm going to be 55 this year.
It's fine.
And
Just turned.
yeah, happy birthday.
Thank you.
There, in my memory, it wasn't safe to let people
No.
know of preferences. It wasn't safe at all. And
Right.
it wasn't only that it wasn't safe, it was almost like if I were to journey into the truth of who I am authentically and what I desire and what I want, that not only would it not be safe physically, but it's not safe, almost like I'd be absolutely alone. And that is one of the bigger fears. It's not a physical safety. I mean, it's almost like physical harm we can heal from, right? Emotional, spiritual harm is it stays with you, right? And so I'm curious about the younger version of yourself. Did you let people know of your LGBT background whenever you went to Fingers. I can understand working for the people you work for in politics. They came from our community, right? They
Right.
were of our community, but at Fingers, and then dealing
Yeah.
with customers, and then even going into KIPP. I was just curious about that earlier version of yourself because it does pair into what our current community members are experiencing or could be experiencing, and I'd like to have that conversation. So if you could take us back to where you were there.
Yeah, so in terms of my sexual orientation, so I identify as a lesbian. But I didn't really understand that. I didn't come out until I was 25. And it was a very painful process coming out. I grew up again in this deeply religious family. So everything that I heard, I mean, when I say a fundamentalist religion, it's an understatement. I was regularly hearing from the pulpit that these people, go down the list are going to hell, and then, homosexuals. So I didn't even begin. I didn't have anyone to talk to. I knew that I was attracted to women. I found myself friending women regularly, and I knew there was something different, but I absolutely could not understand that. So my teenage years were, I tried to hide so much. If anybody would even make a reference or like, you're not dating, right? Or, I never see you with a boy, all those things, I would just recoil, right? And so, of course, that just pushed me, further into the closet, and then layer on this whole level of religion. And this is, this in this particular case is what fundamentalist religion did, right? And in some ways, Tina, I will tell you, it robbed me of my childhood, my teenage years. And this is what being closeted does. It steals those, those authentic moments. People can't be themselves, and it's very painful.
Yeah, and getting to know ourselves, right? Getting to know who we truly are, and then being loved and seen and valued at that authentic level, and not shamed or judged or cast away.
And to know that that there's a whole world beyond the closet, that's what started opening up for me. When I first started coming out, I still wasn't overly out. So I certainly wasn't, and didn't really even understand when I was at Fingers. And when I was at Fingers, I was still trying to figure out a way to step away from the religion. So that was a whole process for me, right? From a mental, emotional, spiritual perspective, just how I completely separate from the religion. But then, I mean, fast forward, I worked for Ellen. She was one of the first elected officials to come out and say, at the state level, that she supported LGBTQ marriage. So, clearly she knew, but there was still, there's still this armor that we as LGBTQ plus people put on. I often say, like every day, like I got up this morning and I figured out, what am I going to wear? The sweater, it's going to look great on air, But, for LGBTQ plus people, there's a whole second layer because we have to go out into a world that we don't know if it's going to recognize us, accept us. We have to vet every word, right? So I spent a lot of time putting on that armor. And when I was in corporate America, particularly Bank of America, I remember when we did the merger with I worked for Nations Bank. We actually acquired Bank of America. Bank of America, West Coast Bank, they were pretty progressive on LGBTQ plus issues at the time. Nations Bank, not so much. And so even with seeing that progress, I was very, very concerned. But then working for Ellen, obviously I can, be who I am. My partner at the time was very involved in things we were doing. But it is so interesting you bring up KIPP. So fast forward to KIPP. It's not that I was, quote, closeted. A lot of people knew, but I still didn't, there wasn't, this is why things, inclusion in the workplace matters so much. I didn't see, supportive policies. I didn't see, somebody, these days you'll see flags where I'm an ally, I'm a strong ally, all these, types of indicators that it's a safe space. I didn't get that at KIPP. And the interesting story there is, as part of the executive leadership team, one thing we would do once a month is one of the executive leaders would be chosen to basically share their life story through a PowerPoint, and pull in
Interesting.
pictures, and all of it. I mean, really to help the team connect with one another. I avoided that like the plague.
Oh, I can just feel the anxiety in your system.
The idea, and it would come up, and the person that led that, she's like, "Tammy, are you ready to go next week? Oh, I can't next, or this month. Can we do it next month?" That's the kind of stress that we deal with. And you think, well, that's just a simple question. Will you present to your to your colleagues? But it wasn't that easy. It absolutely wasn't that easy. So,
No.
I'm I understand. We even have businesses that won't join the chamber because they're not out either personally or professionally. And so
Yeah.
it's a journey. It's a
It
journey.
is a journey. And there's a it's a two-sided coin. One, I'm glad we're living during this time that it is a conversation. I'm glad we could even have this conversation and that this go out into the world through social media, on the web. It's going to go into the ears and hearts and souls of people, right? I love that we can have this conversation and not fear, people coming to our door or labeling us or, discounting us, in any way. And then the other side is that it's painful that we're having this discussion because we would hope that humanity is of the nature where we receive and see each other despite colors of skin, sexuality, countries we come from, religious beliefs. And the truth is, we are not. And so that gives me, the next question is, what had you found? I think we touched on it, but what had you and your co-founder really found the Greater Houston LGBTQ plus Chamber of Commerce? And what did you see at the beginning? Like, take us back to 2015. There was the beginning parts of that, and you've come so far in such a short time. Congratulations. But at
Thank
that
you.
beginning, was it something that felt like, you're on an island by yourself? Even though you know that there's a need for it, you take us to where you were when you were launching.
I mentioned that seat at the table. When I mean, first of all, when you just look and you see, okay, there's chambers, there's LGBTQ plus chambers in Austin and Dallas and San Antonio, and you look at it, there's a big gap, right? Clearly no, you go, wait, what's, we should
That's
have
interesting that,
representation.
by the way, we got these other cities in Texas, by the
That's
way,
right.
everybody listening from around the globe, we're in Texas. I'm just reminding you this. So Texas has been
Exactly.
its own country. Texas has its own identity and definite deep belief systems. And so what you're hearing Tammy share is that there's these other cities in Texas that are regarded smaller and they had chambers and we didn't. We're the fourth largest city in the United States, sometimes third, but definitely fourth. And we did not have a chamber in this regard to have people's voice be heard or
And
even
Tina,
valued.
and that just underscores the gap. I mean, it's like gap with a capital, it's really capital letters gap. I mean, I'm looking at this going, how can we not have a chamber? Now, we did have a chamber decades ago, but it was really a more or less insular group of people that just wanted some connection amongst some businesses in Montrose, more or less. It had long shut down. That was decades ago, but nothing like we see in the chamber that we're running today. But when I remember when Gary and I started talking about this, Gary Woods, the other co-founder, and I told him, I said, look, if we're going to start a chamber, which I definitely believe we need representation here, if we're going to just do networking and coffees and a happy hour in here and all that, that's great. I think that's admirable. And I'll write a check and support it through my business. But if we are going to do impact work, I am all in. I am all in 150%. I didn't even understand what impact work meant and sitting at that table in 2015 to the extent that I obviously understand it today.
Absolutely.
So, but we also saw a landscape in Houston where the LGBTQ plus community was seen through an activist lens. And we certainly have been. We've had to be some of the loudest voices in the room just to get recognition and rights, or a voting block. We're going to come, elected officials will vote for you. And when after that, we'll see you the next election, right? But no business representation. And so key leadership, key influencers in the city electeds, nobody thought of the community in terms of, oh, there's LGBTQ plus owned businesses. they do now. And we're still working to grow that, right? To understand that we are an important part of the economic fabric of this city, right? Not just as a community, but also as a business community. And so that's why we said we're going to launch the chamber.
That's awesome. And we're growing, by the way. And
Yeah.
I'd love to know, you probably have a lot more connection to the data than I do. So I hear things, right? But I hear as far as the communities across the United States, we're the fastest LGBTQ growing community. People tend to think San Francisco, right? Or anybody in California. But then they also say, okay, New York, but and then even Miami. But whenever you think of Texas, people go, Texas is on the map for this. I mean, one of the most conservative, not most conservative states, but we're pretty, rooted in our conservative background here as a
Very.
state. But is it true that we're growing exponentially?
Well, the state is definitely growing. Without a doubt, I mean, it has been a business friendly climate. It's interesting, these worlds that are colliding with what our state legislature is doing, for example, attacking the LGBTQ plus community and minority communities. Any day of the week, I mean, that is not good for business because you have so many businesses and companies, and they understand that a diverse workforce, inclusive workforce is good for business. It is good for business today, and it is good for attracting talent that is going to take those companies into, the next decade. And so they understand that they have to be inclusive and supportive. And so we see this. We've got 55 corporate partners, right? They value their engagement with the LGBTQ plus community. But what we also see is those attacks that are happening on the LGBTQ plus community, particularly our trans community. And so we're actually seeing families that are choosing to move out of the state of Texas because they don't feel safe anymore. They don't feel safe for as a family, or and certainly safe in some of these laws that have passed that's very much targeted towards these children, is it's detrimental to their well-being. So they're actually picking up and moving out of the state, and we're losing valuable talent. We're lo losing a tax base. We're losing when all these social issues get connected into what should be a focus on business. We always say, let's keep it about business. But unfortunately, where the Texas legislature is, it's not about business. It's not about our economy. It's not about what's best for Texas. It's about the next election cycle. And that is hurting our state on many levels. And it certainly is hurting the LGBTQ plus community, and in particular, the trans community in many ways.
Is there any particular place that you believe just the political atmosphere needs to be enlightened about LGBTQ plus? I mean, there's probably different many facets, but is there anything that something inside of me saying people need to start relaxing? I mean, why is our sexuality of interest to people whenever they're making decisions? And so I'm curious about your stand because you've been in front of the Texas Congress, and you've been there representing us. Thank you so much. Is there a fear that's coming up that you see most common that they need to have an answer to?
It's kind of two facets, in my opinion. One is it is fear-based, right? So there's a lot of people that they think they don't know an LGBTQ plus person, and they are scared of us because they've been fed tons of lies, whether it's through religion or whatever aspects, right, about our community. That's why storytelling and getting to know one another is so important, because when people can put that human element and connect and go, oh, well, this is just a person. I've had this happen so many times throughout my life, whether it's coworkers or whatever. But there is the element of politics in this country, and that is, when we've seen this, repeatedly, where you have elected officials and they'll come out and attack our community, and they've got a gay son, for example, right? And the truth is, for most, they don't believe most of this. But they're using it because they know this is what gets their base, their voting base, It gets them energized, gets them voting for them. It's a fundraising tool. And so it's pure politics, which then really does bleed over into it's fear, but it's also power, right? It's about how do we retain power as a party, in our state, or at the, in Congress, at the federal level. It's those kinds of things that are playing out right now that we're seeing, and the LGBTQ plus community, like the immigrant community and other marginalized communities, are we're the wedge issues, and we're being used, right, to
To gain
completely,
votes.
to gain votes and to gain power, and it really it I mean these policies that have been enacted, these laws by the Texas legislature, make no mistake, they hurt. Not only LGBTQ plus Texans, but they hurt Texans as a whole.
Yeah, let's speak to that. Because our listeners here are from every background, right? So if we just consider the marginalized communities, LGBTQ plus being one of them, right? Whenever we as a human community marginalize or separate one from the whole, what effect is that to us?
I think it takes the human element out. So, when we can just refer to those group of people, but understand that everybody has a journey. We're all human, and so what is lacking these days is people trying to take the time. They're just to understand. So someone might be just squarely against immigration, and look, I there's tons of issues with immigration in our country that need to be addressed. But people don't just generally pick up and leave their home country, right? Unless there's a story, something there, they're being persecution, whatever that looks like. What we're missing is connecting with people and understanding that there are all those stories, and we're focused on and believing what, the media says, the false narratives. And unfortunately, that's what's overtaking so much of the dialogue now, as we're seeing play out in this country. So, but it's one reason why at the chamber, we have LGBTQ-owned businesses, but we have allies, and we invite people in all the time, because I know when we can connect with other communities, and I understand you understand me, and we can do this all over business, right? We get to know each other, right? We can add that human element, and that's what's missing.
That's beautiful. And so let's dive into what the chamber represents for the businesses here in the Houston area. And then if you're listening and you're interested in the chambers in your area, this is what your chamber will serve for you as well as a business owner. So what does the chamber do for our community, and why would a business owner want to be part of the chamber?
So we have several different kind of audiences in the chamber. Our first is our small businesses, which people typically think about when they think about a chamber. A lot of times we'll get the question, do I have to be part of the community to join the chamber? Absolutely not. As I mentioned, about a third of our members, I think we've guesstimated, are allied on members. And you know what? They just want to do business. We are a chamber of commerce, but they also want to support the community, many of them. So, and that is, a big draw for them. So small businesses, we're helping our businesses get LGBTBE certified, for example. We're helping them with, workshops, training, network, connection, all of these pieces to help these businesses grow and thrive. You said it when, at the top of the program, we're giving a safe space. So when you walk through the door as an LGBTQ plus entrepreneur, you can just take all that armor off, because you know what? It doesn't matter. And you can just relax and interact and connect. You're not thinking about all that. Whereas another event, you might be thinking, should I say my wife? Should I say,
Will I
and
be
that's one thing
accepted?
that's been, yes. And so that's been one thing that's been so evident for us, as people have said, I love this chamber. And just repeated this when we started it. And I started asking, well, what is it about the chamber? And they're like, it's just so welcoming. People are here to help. It's not about, give me your business card. But I think at a deeper level, at the core, it goes to that safe space, and people can just bring their whole and authentic selves. And certainly for our small businesses, it does that. We have helped our small businesses connect with those 55 corporate partners, impact partners now that I mentioned, because they have product and service that they want to sell. These companies are looking to support LGBTQ inclusive businesses as part of their supplier diversity efforts, or maybe their employee resource groups, which that is specifically, we have an LGBTQ plus Workplace Alliance program. We work with our impact partners and connect to those employees across those companies across the region, which is a growing program for us this year. And then kind of the third leg is I guess leg of the stool here is community. I mean, we at the intersection of business and the LGBTQ plus community, we are very much focused on the whole of the community, economic inclusion. We host an annual food and supply drive. We help, raise food and funds supplies for Tony's Place to help LGBTQ plus youth, which is actually another part of our membership base. And that is our nonprofit members. So we're working to elevate the work they're doing in the community and supporting. So it's exciting work when we can connect all these dots. But last but not least is our advocacy work. And you've again touched on that. We are at the state legislature, we are at city council, we are at commissioner's court. We are work facets to make sure that our elected leaders know that we're here and working to push LGBTQ plus inclusive policies that, quite frankly, are from an economic standpoint, are good for not only our community, but are good for our community as a whole. Because when people can succeed, when everyone succeeds, we all succeed.
Absolutely. And that's what I love about understanding that there are still voices needing to be brought to the table. And as opposed to, someone who's not part of our community believing that we're only holding up the rights of our community, that's one perspective. But the truth is, it's holding up the rights of human, conversation and rights. Because if anybody can be marginalized, we all can be marginalized at some level. And that's just having us understand that we all have rights, we all have value. Each one of us deserves to be seen and heard and not judged or ostracized because of any element of our being, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And so you touched on the LGBTBE certification. Could you give us a little bit more about what that is and why it's so important to our businesses?
Yeah, so there's a certification. If you're 51% or more LGBTQ plus owned, you likely qualify for the certification. And that is the key, the initial criteria. And think of other certifications. There's, certifications for women-owned businesses, minority, veteran-owned, disabled-owned. So this is a certification that is right on par with these other business certifications. And so the National LGBT Chamber of Commerce, or the NGLCC is their acronym, commonly referred to. They're the certifying body. So we're an affiliate, completely standalone, but we work with them on this certification. And if you're a member of our chamber, that certification fee is waived. So that's one great way we partner with the chamber. What this does, just at face value, the goal is to help get more LGBTQ plus businesses plugged into supplier diversity opportunities with large companies, with government, et cetera. So that's with any certification. With this particular certification, what's great about it is that the NGLCC is offering so much support at a national level, whether it's education, workshop, connecting with certified businesses, and along with what we're doing on a regional level to support certified businesses. So we have specific programming just for our certified businesses as well. So I often say, look, if you're selling product or service and you think, well, I'm never going to do business with United or Comcast or, but everything that comes with a certification is such a value in the way you can connect in and the way you can plug, the way you can also use it as a marketing tool if that makes sense for your business, right? To promote that you're an LGBTQ certified businesses, as consumers look constantly to find LGBTQ and inclusive businesses because they want to spend their money where, they know they are valued.
And it creates social impact, in that
Yes.
value. So what would you say to a business owner that may be listening and is, part of the LGBTQ plus community, and they're sitting on the fringes and wondering, is this really going to serve me? And why would I become some, why would I join forces or join this community? Whereas they've just become really accustomed of doing what they do, how they do it, and staying quiet.
Right.
Sometimes staying invisible, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
What
Yeah.
would you invite to them?
Well, first of all, I firmly believe, as we were talking about coming out, that's a journey. And I think for business owners, LGBTQ plus business owners, it's a second layer. It's a second coming out process.
Absolutely.
And for some business owners, that's going to make sense. For others, maybe not. What we're hoping we are creating at the Greater Houston LGBTQ plus Chamber is a space and a place where they can find clients and customers that align with their values, and that value them, so they can have the courage to come up, come out. But we understand if that's not the case. And I've talked to business owners, as I mentioned, and they said, "I'm just not comfortable coming out yet." And I very much respect that. But it's a hard, it's hard. It's painful when you can't, when you're sitting in front of a client and they might ask you about your weekend, and you have to say, "Oh, well, a friend of mine and I, we went to dinner, or we had a vacation, we took a vacation," whatever that looks like. But what I hope they will do is come, if you're in Houston, certainly come visit us at the chamber, see what Tina, you've experienced, right? This network of people that have arms wide open to support them, as a chamber here to help their businesses grow and thrive, and very much valuing them as an LGBTQ plus owned business. And maybe that's something that they've not quite owned themselves. And so when they can get into the room and find other people that have also experienced some of the challenges in the coming out process too.
Absolutely. And how it's benefited, some unconscious benefits that I've realized over the last year as being a member inside of the chamber is that I have a relaxation now that is inherent in my just how I conduct business, where I can definitely tell you before, and I wasn't conscious of it, because sometimes whenever you have an anxiety or a fear or something that you're putting up with, you are unconscious to it because it's just your normal, right? So what happened for me is that I'm like, I'm going to just make this part of my conversation. I'm not going to hide these things. I'm going to have this be something that people e either can pick up subliminally in the context of being in our office, or they can, I don't have to worry about saying my wife, my wife and I, or I don't have to, whenever people would say, when I'm wearing my wedding band, they'd say, "How long have you been married to your husband?" And I just gracefully say, "Thank you. I've been married to my wife for 10 plus years." And there's this dance that we're currently doing. I call it a dance that people go, "Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't know." It's like, it's okay. You don't need to be sorry. We're all becoming more aware. But I can tell you that it's relaxed the conversations here. It's had me feel more authentic inside of my skin. So that part isn't a question mark anymore. And I feel more relaxed and authentic in how I conduct my business. And that's been a freedom that I didn't expect.
Okay, you're going to make me tear up, because what you just said is why we do the work we do. So you can be your full and authentic self, so we can give you the support, right? Everything that you need to grow, not only as a business owner, not from the specific business aspects, finding more clients. Yes, we hope that happens, but giving you support and wrapping our arms around you, right, as a chamber, to know that you are valued as an LGBTQ owned business. And the people that are in the room with you when you are at any one of our events values you equally as much. So that is beautiful. That is so
Thanks.
beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you for building this for all of us. And so I want to direct your attention, our dear listeners. Thank you for sharing your time with us. It's even though we can't see you, we feel you. And thank you for staying to the conclusion of this wonderful podcasting conversation with Tammy Wallace. We want you to dive over into their website and find out all the resources that are here. If you are an LGBTQ plus business owner, if you would love to become an impact partner, you're part of an organization that either has that currently in your consciousness in a container for your employees, or you want to have this as a conversation, a container for your employees, and want to have guidance in how to envelop that and develop that inside of your organization. Or you're a nonprofit that serves the community or wants to also be an ally. So all allies are also invited, because this is a conversation not just for LGBTQ plus, members. It's for humans that want to, help bring down the walls of the separation that are currently inherent in our society. Like it or not, we still have divisions. And so if you're curious about how to embrace the community and understand how to help those conversations flourish within your employee, your workforce, and your staff, and with your customers, because I guarantee you, if you're a business owner, you're going to have an LGBTQ plus customer, and you want to know how to connect and find service there. We're all humans at our essential core, and then we have these other identifying layers on top. So go to the website HoustonLGBTQChamber.com, HoustonLGBTQChamber.com, and learn more, dive in, become a member, and see how it will bring absolute freedom to you in ways that you could not have expected.
Absolutely. And I will add, we've even got individual members, and we started a young professionals group because individuals are saying, look, I don't own a business, but I love what the chamber's doing. We want to be part of it. And so again, at that intersection of business and the LGBTQ plus community, it's a great place to be. And we're here to support, whether you own a business or not, we're here to support community and lift up the whole. So thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you. Any new things on the horizon that you want us to champion and hold space for the chamber itself or for the community at large?
Well, good question. We've got a lot planned for 2024 as we sit here in January, but we're going to be launching our Show Your Pride campaign, which is a wonderful photo campaign that captures people. Yes, that captures people with a beautiful pride background, and we ask people to give us what three words what pride means to me. What pride means to you, and we showcase that on a website. What's beautiful about that campaign, it's not only a campaign for community and to support, especially since we've been under attack in Texas, for people to show their pride, but we use one of our LGBTQ owned businesses, women-owned, minority-owned businesses, right? So it's a great collaboration there. Fast forward, Pride Month is, it's like a whole holiday month for us, as you can imagine. We are busy from everything with Pride nights with the sports teams, but our big signature event is Pride in Business, our Pride in Business celebration. It's going to be on Friday, June the 7th, and we'll be announcing this soon, but I'll go ahead and share it. We're moving it to the Hilton Americas this year.
Ooh,
So that
nice.
is going to be great. We expect 600 or 700 people for that. And we also give away 11 Pride and Business Awards, everything from LGBTQ on Business of the Year to Impact Partner. So it's an amazing celebration, and brings community together. And what a great connection around business, right, during Pride Month. So those are some highlights that we've got coming up.
That's fun. I love it. So I have this little playful thing called the fedora. It's called the hat. And inside are some questions. And so I'm going to ask a couple questions. And so I'm just picking
Let's
from
do
the
it.
hat. Let's see what happens.
Fun, fun.
If you could have a serious conversation with one human, who would it be and what would you be talking about?
Oh my goodness. There's so many people that come to mind, but
Yeah.
Michelle Obama. Absolutely, Michelle
Oh
Obama.
yeah, me too.
Yes. If I could just sit in a room with her for an hour and just, I mean, outside of hearing, the her journey, which we've all heard many, if you've read her book and things
Her
like
book.
that, but I, she's been a longtime supporter of the LGBTQ plus community, and I would love to delve into like where that started, what that looked like for her, and yeah, just to understand that frame. But yeah, I think she's a remarkable person.
That'd be fun. If you get that conversation, invite me because I'll be a fly on the wall. And then there's
Yeah. Wouldn't
the next
that
one,
be
the last one. This is fun. When you're 90, what will you
fun?
celebrate?
Oh. When I am 90, what I hope to be celebrating is first and foremost a good long life, because while I've had, like everyone, a lot of challenges, I am incredibly, incredibly blessed to do the work that I do. I often tell our team, how often do people get to wake up have the impact that we have at the chamber, be able to do what we're doing, change lives, change businesses, help community. Those kinds of opportunities don't come along. So I hope, and one of these days, there'll be a time for me as a founder, co-founder, to step away. But I hope when I'm 90 that I'll be able to look back and see, just with the story you shared today, of what I've been able to impact and how I've been able to give back to my community and ultimately to the world.
That is amazing. And I hope to be right alongside that in that celebration. I'm invited to the
Yeah.
party. Cool. So, Miss Tammy Wallace, co-founder of the Greater Houston LGBTQ Chamber of Commerce. There's a lot of letters in there.
Yeah, it is.
We are so grateful for all the work that you've done for us, for our community, for Houston, right? And it's not just for Houston, it's for Texas. And then it's for the nation, to help us have awareness, inclusivity, understanding, literally love, and then an economic impact and a valuation of that so that we all rise together. Thank you so much for the work that you've done and you continue to do. And so again, I'm going to give the URL. It's www.HoustonLGBTQChamber.com. You want to dive over there and just embrace everything that's on offer. And thank you again for being on the show. It's been such a joy.
Thank you, Tina. Joy is all mine, and you are such a blessing. Thank you for highlighting our work at the Chamber and me. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. And until next time, that was so energizing. I have takeaways that will help my life, and I'm sure you do too. To get show notes, bonuses, gifts for you from our guests, and more, head over to lightyourlifepodcast.com and be sure to bookmark this podcast as one of your favorites. I am Tina Marie St. Cyr, founder of Bonfire Coaching and creator of the Bonfire Method. Thank you so much for being connected. Now, my homework for you: summon the courage to light your life a little more and go make progress on your dreams today. The Light Your Life podcast is brought to you by Bonfire Coaching. Bonfire Coaching is a system of tools, methodologies, and strategies that help each individual rise above the mundane life that feels efforting, where our mind will get stuck, have confusion, frustration, anger, fear, depression, anxiety, loneliness, and pain. And when we have that calling inside of ourselves for more in our life, where do we turn? We need professional sounding boards that are highly skilled at moving us out of our own way and helping us with strategies to overcome procrastination, hesitance, and that mind that'll hold us back. Bonfire Coaching has helped thousands of people across the globe find lives of fulfillment, success, movement, progress, love, joy, happiness, wonder, and aliveness. And we would love to talk to you. There's always available the complimentary consultation where you can sit with one of our coaches and we will help you dive into the strategies and the tools that we help so many people with. And you can see for yourself how powerful these tools are for you to transform your life. Simply go to bonfirecoaching.com and sign up today. We can't wait to meet you.